Good morning, church. Thank you so much, Rosemary and Praise Team. You guys are such a blessing to us week after week, and we're so glad for that. So I'm going to encourage you guys, take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Peter, if you guys would. You guys know that's in the New Testament, all the way near the back, right after Hebrews, kind of a big book. And this is a little book, but full of a lot of great things that will help us to live our lives the way God wants us to. So we are going to begin with a word of prayer. So I just encourage you guys, let's just unite our hearts in prayer this morning. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Thank you, dear God, for the sunshine, Lord, and waking us up on another day. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us your word, Lord. You gave us your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just work in every pew, Lord. And Father, work through me, Lord. I'm a receiver first before I can be a giver. And I ask, dear God, that you would just work, Lord, as only you can through your word, Lord, to encourage our hearts, to lift us up, Lord, to help us, Lord, to move in directions, Lord, and to have a confidence, dear God, that you indeed are our place of refuge in all the troubles and challenges that we face in this life. Father, guide our hearts. Take away the distractions, Lord, for a few moments, Lord, as I know we are living in challenging days, but we ask, Lord, that you just speak through our hearts now. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start with you guys today. First off, we are continuing our series. We just started last week, right? And I want you guys to think about this. Living like Jesus in a world of difficulty. And I want to ask this question. You know, you stop and anybody watch the news regularly? Anybody a news person? Like, you know, I know some people say, well, I look at it on my phone or whatever. I like watching it, the news at 6:30, right? I like to watch that. And here's the funny thing about it. The majority of the time that you watch the news, by the way, on any channel, most of the news is like what bad things happened today, right? And I like, and I'll just share with you, I watch CBS. You can say, oh, I can't believe it, but you can. I watch CBS, and they have this cool thing. And by the way, I saw other news media channels doing the same thing. At the very end, the last 4 or 5 minutes, they talk about something good. Somebody who did something good, right? And I say that to say this, man, it seems like we live in this world of difficulty, and we're just trying to find one little thing that'll help us get through the day, right? And as we talk about that today, we're going to kind of dive into Scripture. And 1 Peter is a book written, by the way, like 2,000 years ago. And the people, can you believe it, were feeling just like you and me. They're like, man, is there any good news? Is there any help? Is there any hope? And I want to throw this out. And the tagline's here on purpose. You know, as we go through life, it's not all easy. Some of you guys are like, amen. Yeah, man, you're right. It's not all easy, but we got to allow God to transform us from the inside out in every circumstance. And that's what we're going to jump into this morning. So I want to go right down to the next slide. Our title today, right, is this, Learning to Live Like Jesus in a World of Difficulty. And the focus part is this, a new life of worship, hope, and holiness. And by the way, those are three things that are going to help us live the way God wants us to live. In every season, in every generation, in every time of history, those things are going to work for us. So some of you guys said to me, so what happened this week? And I'll share with you, what happened this week is we became grandparents times two, right? So that's kind of cool, right? And most of all, Sarah and Brendan became parents times two. And if you look at us, if you see lots of dark circles around our eyes, that's why. We're really excited, but we're really like beat. We're tired, right? We're tired. But we praise God that baby Luke joined us on Monday morning. I had to run out. We had a meeting here at church, and I had to run out because Sarah was getting ready to go to the hospital. And, you know, it took a little while and a few little complicating things, but the baby was born at 12:19 a.m. on Monday. So we praise God. So you can see Levi holding him, that little white thing, that's his hat. And Jane holding him, you know, real good. Looks like she's an Eagles fan, like a running back. She has him like a football there, right? And we praise God, and everybody's doing well. And, you know, they went to the doctor already Friday, and everything seems okay. And, you know, Sarah's just on the mend. She did have a C-section, you know, that's a little bit challenging. People are asking me about that. I'm like, I don't know. I'm sure it's hard. So just remember them in prayer. But we praise God, and we thank you guys for praying. You know, like, by the way, I threw this out. Every birth is miraculous. It really is. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I think we just think, like, you know, we just pop those babies out, and it's not like that. It's not like that. There's always complicating things and challenging things, but we praise God that God superintends over all those things. So we're glad about that. So I want to throw out to us, and I'm just going to skip this slide. We talked about we were struggling, and here's what I want you guys to walk away with. We started this last week. We kind of did like about one and a half of the items. We're going to pick up from there. But the foundation for us, right, as believers in Jesus Christ, I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up. You know, as believers in Christ, we still struggle, right? Can I get amen? We still struggle. Like, we don't go, oh, you know, Lord, give me some more problems. You know, sometimes we're going, Lord, we're good, stop, right? We struggle, but the foundation for Christians living in a world of difficulty begins with these three things. And I want you guys, I'm going to drive these into our mind, I hope. And here they are. The first one is, we need a heart of worship. I don't know if you came in today and you got to enjoy the worship time. It just lifted us up out of the mess of our life and said, you know what? There's a God in heaven who is greater than all these things, and we got hope no matter how bad it looks right now, right? So we need to have a heart of worship. We need to have an attitude of hope. And by the way, write this on your bulletin. Hope, and we've talked about this many, many times, right? Hope isn't this wishful thought, but hope is confidence that there's a God who's in control, and he's going to work out his perfect plan. And as believers in Christ and his children, we're going to be okay because heaven is sure. And the Holy Spirit is real for us right now, and he's going to get us through. Right? We need to have that attitude of hope. Not like, oh my goodness, there's no hope. No. There's great hope because God's in control. And then the last thing we need, and we'll talk about this more this afternoon, is this, a mind for holiness. And by the way, I don't mean holier than thou. I mean, people get mad. Like, people act like they talk down to us, and, you know, you ought to do it this way. And we're like, oh, man, come on. You know, this hyper-spiritual thing. We're talking about our heart wants to please God first. And we know that that's the best place for us. It's a struggle sometimes. But we want to have that, a mind that is really looking to holiness. So we're going to dive into that. I'm going to real quick review so we can kind of get to the Lord's table as well. So we talked about this letter, right? It's written to the church at... churches in Galatia. The title of the book is 1 Peter. It's called the Epistle of Peter. It's a letter, right? So it's written to these people that are in present-day Turkey or Asia Minor. And the people are people that are Christians, and they're kind of scattered, and they feel like strangers. That's that word diaspora, scattered or diaspora, scattered around. But they've kind of been scattered by God with a purpose to be witnesses for him wherever they are, right? And the purpose of this letter, right, is to help these people. By the way, everybody look up. Do you sometimes feel like a stranger on earth? You know, like everything's going on around you, all kinds of carnage and chaos. You're just like, where am I? That's how Christians feel in every age. Like, what is going on? You know, what are we going to do? So the purpose of this book is to kind of get them out of that funk and give them real hope as they live life. So I just put this up real fast for you guys, and you guys can see the map up there on the wall, and they dimmed the screen for you guys. But check it out, right? So this area, you can look, like, this is the area of Israel right here. The map is actually in Latin. It's kind of strange, but Palestina is Palestine, right? The whole thing, all of Israel. Gaza, you guys know, is down there, right? And you can see the place. This is Turkey, right? And it connects really Asia over to Europe. There's Greece. So, and this is the Mediterranean Sea, as you guys see it. There's the little heel of the boot of Italy over there. So it gives you a sense. That's what's going on. And I want to say this to you guys today as we look at the map, and I'm going to go through real fast. And take us right on down, if you would, there. I want you to get this in your mind. These are real people. This is a real place. And they're having real problems, and it's relevant to us now. Because the problems on earth, yeah, we got more technology than they did, but the problems of life haven't changed all that much, right? The issues are still the issues. We haven't solved them. Jesus came down the cross and rose again. He ultimately solves them, but the world is wrestling with those problems day after day. So they're real people, and I want us to kind of get a hold of that. And these Christians were real people. They were different. They were persecuted, and they were going through all kinds of stuff. So we'll go down to the next slide very quickly this morning. And the purpose, and I want you guys to get this in your mind, is this. Teach about suffering and the spiritual realities. By the way, I'll throw this out. I want to ask this as a question. Do you think you learn more when everything is just going perfect and beautiful, or do you learn more when it seems like the world's falling apart, or your world and my world's falling apart? Yeah. Unfortunately, the answer is B. Yeah. We learn more in struggle and trial and suffering than we do when everything is rosy, right? That's true. So the Apostle Peter, right, is trying to say to these guys, hey, look, you guys, I want to teach you about these spiritual realities. Suffering, it hurts, but it has an outcome that is good. And I know, and by the way, none of us are going, where do I sign up for suffering? You know, we have a line of, Deacon John's at the back. He has the sign-up sheet. When I sign up, see him at the end, right? No one's going to see John, right? No one wants that, right? And I just shared with you guys this verse. We looked at this last week just quick. But look at the book of Acts chapter 14. I just want to clarify this. And by the way, everybody look up. Sometimes, do you feel like in life sometimes, like, why am I suffering? I'm a good guy. Or I'm a good lady, right? I try to do things right. Why am I going through this? What is going on here? You know, God, are you hearing me? What's going on, right? That we think that way, right? And Acts chapter 14, Luke wrote this, by the way, and he said, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, this, you know, Luke is saying this, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And by the way, just so y'all know, those are cities in Turkey or Asia Minor at that day. So they heard the gospel, right, like us. People got saved like us. People said, man, my life has changed. I really want to grow. I want to know the truth. I praise God that His Holy Spirit's in me. I know He's going to work through all these things. But guess what? Those people like you, real people, real problems, just like us, right? They got discouraged. And look what Luke wrote. He said, so we return to these places. Look what he says. Strengthening the souls of the disciples. And check this out. Exhorting them, that means encouraging them, teaching them how to do it, right? Exhorting them to continue in the faith. Wow. And I'll throw this out. You know, people have said this. I know people in Israel have said this. If we're God's chosen people, I wish He'd choose someone else. Right? Sometimes in the church of Christ, we're saying, wow, God's called us, He saved us, He chose us, and all this stuff kind of hits us. We're going, man, I wish maybe He didn't choose me, right? And you know, Paul, by the way, is on his missionary journey. Luke records it, but he said, you know, we're coming back. We want to encourage them to stay in the faith. And look what he says, by the way. Get this word in your mind. He says, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And I said last week, you know, there's a few verses I would like to extract from the Bible and take them out, humanly speaking. That would be one, right? I don't want to know that I'm going to have all these tribulations and trials, but I throw this out. It prepares us. This is real life. This is how it works. Remember, these people in Galatia, real people with real problems that needed real help from God. And the purpose of this book is to give them that help so they know how to live life, right? And that's what we're talking about today. So we're going to skip down. And remember, what's the three things, right? So all of us, what are some three key things that this first chapter teaches us, right? If we're going to live in this crazy world, in this life of difficulty and problems, we need three things. First one is a heart of worship. The second one is an attitude of hope. And the third one is what? A mind for holiness, right? We need those things. And we're going to go right down. And by the way, this idea of a heart of worship, I'm just going to go right to the bottom because we covered this last time. I want you guys to think about this. Because of God's overflowing, abundant love for us, He has saved us, literally made me alive from the dead in my sin, and he's given me a confident hope. Right? God saved us. That's why, wait, you know, that there's a song, it goes like this, it says, that's why we worship, that's why we sing. Right? You heard that song before? Right? That's why, because he gave us what? Everything. Right? That's why we worship. And I'll throw out to you in this passage, go with me to Luke chapter 1, right, verse 3. Notice the first word is this word. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is in bold, right? Blessed be God the Father. In other words, that means what we got to be doing is praising God in the midst of these things. And I was thinking about it. We sang about it today. Can you imagine, by the way, you guys all know the story of Joshua and Jericho? We teach it to our kids, right? How's that story go? Somebody shout that. How's it go? Go ahead. Don't shout too loud. Eunice's vocal cords are better, but don't shout real loud. How's it go? How's Joshua go?
Joshua, when the brother and the boy were on the city 7 times. Yep. And then just blew the trumpet.
And shout, right? And the walls fell down, right? So I want to throw this out, right? Think about this. You're Joshua. You're trying to conquer the land. God says, okay, go around the city of Jericho. These people are all the enemies of Israel. We're trying to take over this land. And he says, don't attack them. But here's what he says I want you to do. Walk around the city, sing praises, and then when I tell you, after you go around 7 times, you shout and you blow the trumpets and the walls will fall down. God, are you crazy? Right? Think about that, right? Like we're going, like, what are you talking about? But that's kind of this idea, though. I'm going to throw this out. As we praise God, God gives us strength in the midst of the storm, and the walls that we can't seem to get out of fall down. You know, that makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? You know, I heard this on Caleb this week. Somebody said this, and it's like, it's kind of a weird statement, but somebody wrote it. It's actually kind of the same idea. He said this, he says, we are all like people in cages with the door open. Let that process for a second. You understand? So like we feel like we're all walled in and boxed in, and all we got to do is go through the door. Right? But I throw this out. Isn't it true when we live life on this earth and everything's just beating us up and pounding on us and doing all those things, we feel like we can't escape. We can't get out. And that's where God's word comes in and says, you know what? In the midst of the storm, praise me, trust me, and I'm going to get you out of here. I'm going to get you out, right? And that's what we need to think about. So we're going to go down to the next slide. Take us down real quick if you would. My dear, thank you so much. And we're going to just kind of dive in, and I showed that picture last week. You know, the God who created that sunset and that reflection in the lake, the God who created everything is the God who can fix anything you got. Amen. And we're going to keep on going from there. Let's keep on moving on down here. Here we go. How about this idea of attitude of hope? We're going to summarize real fast. Look at the scripture. He says, due to God's eternal gifts. And by the way, when God gives us gifts, it's not like when me and you give gifts. You know what? We live in houses and garages, and we've added storage facilities now to that picture, right, of junk that we hold on to, that at the end of the day, our kids are going to throw it in a trash dumpster and it'll be done with. Right? Especially you guys know the generation that follows mine. They don't like a lot of clutter and a lot of junk. We like a lot of junk. You know, we save everything, right? But I know when I die, they're going to call 1-800-JUNK and it's going to be gone. Right? But when God gives us gifts, right? When God gives gifts to us, they're eternal, they're permanent. If they don't junk up our house, they complete our life. Right? That's the difference, right? And he says this in his passage. He says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a what kind of hope? A living hope. He has breathe new life into my confidence, right? And that doesn't go away. He says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and look what he says, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Think about that. You know what? All things that go on earth, heaven is not shaken. Heaven doesn't have a climate crisis. Heaven doesn't have an economic crisis. Heaven doesn't have an issue of, you know, all these tragic things, earthquakes, fires, all that stuff. None of that stuff's going on in heaven. Heaven is rock solid. Right? That's the kind of foundation we have, right? And he says, by the way, it's reserved in heaven. I like this one. By the way, how many folks have a bank account? I'm not asking you to give money, by the way. Raise your hands. Okay, it's okay. It's all right. Don't be afraid. Right? You got a bank account? We got one, right? You know, our bank accounts are FDIC insured. If you have it at the credit union, the credit union has their own FDIC, but they're insured up to $250,000, right? So you go, wow, that's pretty cool, right? I can't lose my money. Well, get this. And by the way, who knows how good that promise is? We haven't tested that too much, but who knows? But let me say this. You know what? Our heavenly promise and all the things that God gives us eternally are kept by God. Look what it says. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And don't you like that fact that God keeps it? And by the way, you talk about this in our salvation. You can't lose your salvation. You might be mad at God. You might sin. You might do all those things. But God, your salvation is rock solid. Right? Can't be taken away, right? No matter what, it's ours. And that's the kind of promise we need to hang on to. By the way, I don't know what else you got today. I don't know if you have you're in the market, you have stocks, bonds, whatever you got. You know, I hope it goes good for you. I hope it goes good for me too, because that's our retirement. But even if it doesn't go good, God's got us. He's the keeper of all those things, especially the eternal ones, right? So that's why I have an attitude of hope, right? But how about this? You guys, we can all say, by the way, everyone said amen, right? Amen, praise God, right? How come then, in the midst of all the struggles, I feel so bad? How come? We amening on one hand, and the other hand, we going, ugh. You know, where we're, oh. You know, amen goes to, oh, really quick when we're in the midst of trouble, doesn't it, right? So what's going on? And what I want to encourage us, and what he wants to assure us in this passage, right, is that we need to have an attitude of hope even in the difficulty of trials. And they're going to come, right? They're going to happen. And look what he writes. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, those eternal gifts. I mean, how about it? We don't sing about the trials so much, but we sure sing about the eternal gifts and all a lot, right? But he says, in the midst of that, he says, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Pastor Anthony, we prayed for four families this morning that have lost a loved one. That rocks our world. Sometimes that destroys our dreams. Sometimes that begins to shake our hope, right? Well, we talk about all the people on the prayer list. We can remember back when everyone was young, the prayer list was like, one page, 10 lines. The prayer list is now like 2 pages, and we have to take people off so we don't like go to 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever sometimes, right? It's unbelievable, right? So we have all these things going on. But he says this. He says, understand this. He says, the reason you guys are going through these troubles, and by the way, everybody look up. Do you think any of your troubles have snuck by the gaze of God? You know, was God taking a nap? Was he in the midst of answering Pastor Ansu's prayer and he forgot about mine? No, right? No. And here's the deal. An all-knowing, almighty God, right, has allowed these things to go on. And here's why. That the genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everybody look up. You know what God's trying to do? When we go through these fires and these tests and these trials and these problems and these issues, right, that just kind of beat us down, he is refining our faith so much that it's not just a say-so thing. It's something that I really rest on and stand on and trust. And I see God that is faithful. You understand? And by the way, everybody look up, right? Get this in your mind, right? Like we can read our Bibles. You know, we can take notes. We can kind of commit things to our memories. But unless I see God bring me through stuff, it's not always that real. But when I see God do the impossible, man, my worship goes up a notch or two, right? Do you understand? And that's what he's talking about here. It says, we rejoice even when we are grieving in difficulty. Trials, right, are a result of the brokenness in the world, but are allowed by God to refine us, test us. And remember, we talked about this a little while back in our previous series. When you're in the midst of trials, you know what? All of a sudden, your priorities become really clear. Right? Not only that, our faith gets stronger, like we talked about a minute ago. Sometimes it's the result of sin, and we're like, oh, man, I didn't realize it was going to happen like that. So we begin to confess our sin and deal with issues that we had that maybe were hidden. And it gives us this renewed focus on living life. That's what trials do. So I don't like trials. Anybody like trials? No, right? We're like, are you kidding, Pastor Gary? No, we don't like it. But I want us to realize, one, through many tribulations, we're going to get to heaven. And God has allowed those things that he could stop. And by the way, he does stop a bunch of them. He doesn't make them so severe all the time. But God has allowed them to do what? To give me and you a faith that is real, that's genuine, that's kind of like, you know, all the impurities and all the bad ideas that we had about who God is or what he does is kind of burned up in the trials. And that's kind of what's going on. And we have this permanent joy because we have a permanent salvation. And by the way, it makes us look to the real hope that we have in down the road in eternity, not this fleeting hope that we have here. Everybody look up. Here's the thought. You know what? Is there anybody in the room that is not going to die? Raise your hand. No, right? No. By the way, there's one hope for that. If Jesus comes back and raptures us, and some of you are going, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? Come now, right? If he comes back, we'll escape death. If he doesn't come back in our lifetime, we're going through the door. We don't like it, but we're going through, right? So here's the deal. Everybody, all the hope that you have, all these pleasant wishes and all these great things, right? At the end of the day, you're leaving earth, and so am I. But my hope is what? In eternity, and it is kept by God. So I have to kind of, by the way, it's nice to have hopes and plans and dreams and do cool things while we're on earth that we can bless God and praise him for, but you know what? The ultimate thing we're looking for is not here. And again, it kind of sets our priorities a little bit. I want to share a picture with you guys. Can you guys see that pretty good? Turn the lights all the way down real fast. It'll help to illustrate, right? There we go. Anybody know where that is? It's actually France. Somebody say, Sunnyside Farm. Remember that place? It's not there. It's France, right? Anybody know what those things are? Those are grapes. Those are grapes, right? And we had a chance this summer. Sarah's one of her friends got married in France, and we kind of tugged along and helped out with Levi. But we enjoyed this. This was probably the highlight of our trip on, like, the second day we got there. This is a town called Bordeaux. Bordeaux, by the way, is supposed to be one of the greatest wine capitals of the world. A couple others in Italy, right? By the way, right? And I'll share a funny story. So me and Jane and two other people are on this bicycle tour. So it was kind of fun to go actually into the vineyards and see all this stuff. And the first question they said to us was, hey, do you guys drink a lot of wine? And I said, I'm kind of a pastor. I don't really drink a lot of wine. Right? So I kind of set the tone. It's kind of funny, right? But I learned so much, and I did taste a bunch of wine. I kind of could taste it and see what was good and what was better and all those kind of things, right? But these are grapes. This is in the Bordeaux region. There's a town, by the way, here, it's called Saint-Emilion. By the way, in all these places, I'm not sure if you can see that picture, but every town has a church, right, in the middle, up on the hill. You can see the steeple. It is beautiful. It's so amazing. And it goes for miles and miles and miles. And we rode bikes, by the way, e-bikes. So we'd have to just ride. But the day we went there, I want you guys to share with you guys, it was so beautiful, but the day we got there, it was 100 degrees. 100. Remember how hot this summer was? And here's something cool about this region of Bordeaux. These people do not water their crops artificially. The only water comes from what? Rain. They're not allowed to do that, to have a label. And by the way, those little houses are called chateaus. And there are individual like houses that become like brands of, you know, some of the best wines in the world. But those people, they have like a pact. They cannot water their crops. But you're like, Pastor Gary, it's 100 degrees. I know. Can't water the crop. And guess what? If two vines of grapes are dead in a row, their rule is they have to plow the entire field. That's why it's so good, right? So guess what happens? Here's the picture, right? It's 100 degrees. Guess what those grape roots are doing? They are looking for water. They are digging in, right? It's a great spiritual illustration. They are digging in to find the water of life somewhere. And seasons like this year, and we asked this question, they said last year was a rainy year. We said, oh, it must have been a great season then for the crop. And they said, guess what? No, it's a terrible season. And the picture I want you guys to get a hold of, these grapes do the best when it's the worst, when it's the hottest and when it's the driest and that kind of season when everyone's just, you know, praying for rain. These grapes do the best because they are literally tested by fire. Their roots go deep into the soil. The ingredients are pulled out of the soil that give it their great flavor. They're not so filled with water that the taste is bad. And they said this. They said, you know what? The best vintage of wine is when the summer has been so hot and so dry because it just cleanses all of that from the crop. And I say that to say this. You know, the best vintage of Christians is when we have gone through the fire and the testing of problems, and we have found God to be faithful. Right? So I thought I'd think about that for a second. I wonder what kind of vintage we are. Right now, it seems like the world is just beating us up. There's so many tests and so many trials. But guess what? We, as we act like Christ, are bringing glory to God, and we're becoming who God really wants us to be, people that have a faith that's tested and tried and one we can depend on, right? That's the picture, right? So we're going to go down. You can turn the lights back up. We don't want nobody sleeping in church. All right, here we go. So we're going to go back up, right? So we're going to move on down. And I'll just share this quickly, this slide. And Peter writes this, he says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, that they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit from heaven, which the angels desire to look into. So I want to just say this phrase. Here's what he's saying. He says, those things that we just talked about, those permanent gifts, are something that for people of all of history, God's people, prophets, have tried to look into the scriptures and understand just how God could redeem his people. And guess what? We now know. When Peter preached the gospel that Jesus died and rose again, they knew. All the things that we looked for, we wondered about, we thought about, we prayed that God would send a deliverer. Guess what? Now we know because he has. And we can understand it. We can grasp it, right? The deliverer is Jesus, and he saved us from everything that is bad. All of our sin, everything, all the problems we can overcome because of who he is. And I want us to kind of get this in our mind. The salvation has been sought for all of eternity. By the way, Hebrews 11:10 said this. It said, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, right? Way back. Aren't we looking for that? You know, I love America. You know, I love the world. There's a lot of cool places in the world, like we just visited something this summer. But guess what? There's nothing like a city who's made by God. Right? That's what he's talking about here. So we want to bless God. Another reason to bless and praise God. We want to step on down to one more thing. So here's the next thing, last thing, right? So just kind of go back with me, right? In order to live life in this crazy world, what do we need? A heart of what? Worship, right? An attitude of what? We just talked about, don't get this wrong. An attitude of hope, right? A heart of worship, an attitude of hope. But the last thing we need is we need a mind for holiness. We need to act like who we are. We need to be the little Christ that the word Christian means. That's who God wants us to be. And by the way, check this out. It says in this passage, look at 1 Peter 1:13-16, the third thing here, he says, therefore. And you know, people always ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore, right? Based on everything we just learned about, right? We got to have what? We got to have a heart of worship. We got what? An attitude of hope. We need to have this mind of holiness, right? Because we're trying to live for God in the midst of all this stuff going on, right? And here's what he says. He says, gird up the loins of your mind and be what? Sober. I'll explain that. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that's brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Pastor Andrew, can you do me a favor? Could you go grab me a baptismal gown real fast? We're not going to baptize anyone. Don't worry. It's okay. It's over here on this side. The men's one. Get one of them new long ones, right? We'll explain why. So he says this phrase. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What is he talking about? Like by the way, we like loins when they're on the grill, right? Pork loins, beef loins. What is he saying here, right? What is he talking about today? He's talking about our minds. And I want you guys to get a hold of this for a second. In the midst of all of our struggles, right, that we deal with. Thank you so much, bro. Appreciate that. You want to put this on for me? Here, put this on. Put that on. Don't fall. Put that on.
Who's the candidate?
He looks like a Supreme Court justice, doesn't he? I'm going to make sure he doesn't go down. He's my brother, right? If he goes down, I'm in trouble, man. I'm in big trouble. That's it. All right. Yeah, zip that thing right up all the way. Right up to the neck. There it is. Perfect. All right. Now, check this out, right? If Pastor Ansley was going to run a race, right, would he be looking like this? Right? What would happen? By the way, it was hard enough just to get this thing on without falling down. Can you imagine him running? Imagine him on the FBC security team. Like, what's going to happen here, right? And here's the point, right? As we face these struggles and these trials and all these issues in our lives, right, what gets in the way isn't the clothing I have on, but it's the thoughts in my mind that are hanging out. And I'm, you know, my mind is taking me all these bad places, like, you know, is God real? You know, what's he doing? What's happening? You know, how come I'm going through this? All these things are, and here's the deal. The passage says, gird up the loins of your mind. And the idea is this, Pastor Ansley, get ready to run, because you're not running like that. What would you do? Don't take it off. Yeah, you're going to fall. Don't do that. By the way, you see him, he caught his foot right there. So now, how would you gird that thing up? So, by the way, if you're thinking about stealing the offering, he is now ready to get you. He's going to get you, right? Because he girded that thing up, and he tied it up, and he got it sort of in a position now that he can run. And I want to say this, and by the way, thank you so much. Yeah. Here's the issue. Me and you, right? Give me a hand, by the way. Good job. Here's the issue. When we're faced with all the struggles of this life, our mind takes us to all kinds of bad places, bad ideas, bad feelings. It all comes out of our mind, doesn't it? And what he says to do is, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, kind of, let's get that all tied together. And what ties that together is truth. Remember in the book of Ephesians, he says, we got to put on our armor, right? The breastplate of righteousness, right? He says, put that belt on, right? We got to tie that up so we're ready to fight the evil one who comes out in the problems and the issues of life. We need truth, right? And he says, by the way, the idea of the word be sober, this is not a carry off of the wine picture I just showed you. The idea of being sober here is not, it's not even about anything to do with being intoxicated. It has to do with this. Be wise. How we be wise? We were wise when we do what God says, when we trust what he says, even when we see out there what we see doesn't look like what God's saying. God knows. And Satan deceives. So we have to be wise. And he says, and check this, I said this a minute ago in another context. He says, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Christ. In other words, check out what he didn't say. He didn't say, rest your hope fully on your retirement plan. He did not say, rest your hope fully on the market. He did not say, rest your hope fully on your health. I know you exercise and all you eat is green things and you blend up, you know, vegetables and you drink that nasty juice. Don't rest on that, right? Don't rest on that. He says, rest your hope fully on what? On the grace that's brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that's what we have to hope in, right? Like you said, let's put the anchor where it's going to hold. Right? That's the idea, right? And he says, as obedient children, don't conform yourselves to your former lust. By the way, this happens. When we go through trials, we said, you know what? I can't believe I got saved. I'm trying to live for God. I might as well go back and do the stuff I used to do. He said, don't do that. Instead, he says, but as he called, who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Makes sense, right? So he says, focus, be wise, be confident in your hope in Jesus Christ, not in your other hopes. Don't go back to the former sins in conformity to the world. Remember, Romans 12 says, what? Be not conformed, what? But be transformed. But he says, obey God as the transformed individual you are. So we got this idea. Let's fix it, right? What am I going to do? I'm going to try to work on developing this heart of worship. I'm going to have an attitude of hope. And you know what? I'm going to direct my mind by the word of God toward living the way God says, right? You know, we read Psalm 119. It's all about the scriptures, right? It says so many things about the word of God, right? You know, hide these things in your heart that you might not sin against God, right? Among other things. And that's what we need to be doing, right? So that's how we have to live in the midst of all these challenges. We'll go down to the next slide. And I just want to use this picture to illustrate. That's sort of like a kind of a wild picture, isn't it? But that's supposed to be like a person's mind. But just stop and think for a minute. All the things that your mind conjures up. And most of it, if it's not sort of spirit-directed and you know, the word of God filled, takes you to some places we don't want to go to, right? Takes us to some bad places. So I just encourage us, right? Let's do what? Let's have a mind for holiness, right? And we're going to go right on down. Keep taking it down. Here we go. A mind for holiness. And by the way, he continues that idea, and I want to challenge you with this. He continues that idea, and he says these words here. He says, conduct yourselves throughout that time of your stay here in fear. In other words, we live in a world where we ought to respect and literally fear God. And if we fear God, you know what? We don't have to fear too many other things. In fact, none of them. We do what God says, right? He's going to be with us, right? It says, knowing that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, by the way, which we chase, silver, gold, he says, from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. We need to obey God as the transformed people we are and remember and count this cost of our salvation, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And that helps us to kind of have that kind of mind, right? So we're going to slide down and we're going to kind of finish up here in just a second. And here's the last thought. I want you guys to get this in your head, right? And me too. It says, look what it says. Okay, so you're on the right path. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the scripture in the sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And I want to throw this out. If we're obeying scripture, I want to ask this question. What is one of the hardest things that we have to obey about? Loving one another is a big test, isn't it? And that means love them when they don't love you back, when they don't love you back well, when they're really unlovable, when they do everything you said don't do, love them anyway, right? And by the way, he said, we got that from what? Obeying the truth in the scriptures from the Spirit of the living God. And then I want to just kind of paint this picture here. He says, all flesh is as grass. Even you folks that drink that yucky vegetable juice, right? All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And that's the key, right? So I got it, like, as part of my quest to be holy and to live holy, the word of God has got to become pretty active in my thinking, right? And that's what he's saying here, right? And I'll throw this out. Look what he says here. He says, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Because the word of God says don't do that. So we try to lay that aside. But then look what he says. We got to keep on going. We can't just stop. You know, we have kind of a pretty good looking life. We can't stop there. He says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I'll share a funny story. So we just had a baby this week. Yo, this baby, like, wow. You know, baby Luke, right? When he was born, I mean, we got there the next day, me and Jane, and man, guess what? All of a sudden, baby Luke is just like licking his lips, and he is trying to get ready to suck, to get the milk, right? Like, right out, like, no one had to teach him that. You know, it just was a natural thing. It was like so quick, this kid is ready to do that, right? That's how we ought to be as God's kids. Because the word is gonna convict us, it's gonna change us, it's gonna tell us what to do, it's gonna bring things to our mind that we know are wrong. And without the word of God, we just kind of go through life on autopilot. We don't want to do that. So we need to obey God and kind of act as the people that we are. And a big piece of that is the word of God. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, good. So here is our challenge. Mr. Jackson, where are you? Okay, the kids are coming in. As you guys leave today, got a little challenge for you guys. We talked about it last time, right? I would like you guys to memorize, and I'm going to try and do it too, right? And I know all you people are going, hey, you know, we're a little bit too old for that. You know, I know. You know, and you know, I know you know the adage, right? You can't teach old dogs new tricks, right? Mrs. Long, you know, she corrected me this morning, right? She said, I said, these are not tricks. And she said, and guess what? And we're not old dogs, right? So we're not, but here's the deal. We got to get God's word into our minds and into our hearts in a way that it's a resource when all the things of life start hitting you. And I want to challenge you guys, as a church, right? Now, I'm trying to think about the prize. I don't know what it is yet, but it's probably going to be amazing. Right? But I want to challenge you guys, which ones of us, could it be all of us, can memorize the first 16 verses in the book of 1 Peter. Ooh. And by the way, here's what it says. Remember, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, which is kept by the power of God. Right? And I'm going to stop. I don't really know the rest, so I'll have to confess. Right? I don't know by memory, right? Too good. But I want to challenge you. That's like the first several verses right there. So if I can do it, and I'm kind of becoming an old dog, I think we all could do it. And I think it would give us the tools as we're going through some of the struggles to remember God's eternal gifts and to kind of get us focused on what does God want us to do. So when you leave here today, you can just put this in your Bible. You can put it in your pocket. It's nice and small. Has a cute little picture. But on the back is the powerful word of God. And I'm coming up. By the way, I have somebody. I'm going to call her out. Luz, right? My friend Luz. She's going to try to memorize it in Spanish. Right? That's pretty cool, right? So I want to challenge you guys. to challenge lose. And let's see, even if we do English, that'd be good, right? So let's try to get that. Let's try to really work on that as an application. Last slide and we're done. Take it down, if you will, one more time. What are we going to do? We'll skip down. Skip that slide. That's the word of God for sure. What are we going to do now? Take it down one more time after that. We got to have those three things, and we got to apply these principles. How in the world are we going to do it? And here's how. Read and memorize the scripture with desire and hunger, like you're feeling right now for food, for lunch, right? Reflect on our foundations. I'm going to challenge us with this, right? Do you really have a heart of worship? Do you? I remember, but I'm not pointing any fingers at it. Some people go, I hate that music. Do you love God? Like, seriously, it's like we worship, we love God. That's why we want to praise him, right? An attitude of hope. Are you guys hopeful? You know, Christians, by the way, you ever been around Christians that are like, they see a black cloud in every silver lining? Just like, oh, like, we go, this is good. It's like, you ever watch a tennis match? You know, boom, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I remember talking to people that know the Lord, like, they're like, oh, my life is so terrible. Look what Jesus did. Oh, my life is still terrible. Look what Jesus did. Oh, my life is so terrible. Look what Jesus did. Look what he gave you, right? Like, we should not be those kind of Christians to take everything into the dark, right? We should be looking at, wow, look what God is doing. He's equipping me. It hurts, but he's equipping me, right? So we need to do that, right? And we need to repent. And we need to surrender ourselves really to God, right? And I challenge us to, let's kind of reorient our practices. To really obey what God said and to really just treasure those things and hold on to those things. Amen. If anybody has a question, an issue at the end, please come forward. We are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, so we're going to ask our deacons to come, and we're going to get ready to do that, and I'm going to pray while they move. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Father, we need an anchor in these storms, and I pray, Lord, that this chapter, Lord, would begin to help to build that foundation for us, Lord, of strength and stability. And Lord, I pray that you would grow us beyond where we are. Many of us are really mature, but we're not there yet. And I pray, dear God, that you would take us to that place. Lord, work in our hearts and our minds now, I pray. And I pray, Lord, as we come to your table, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, just to think about the amazing sacrifice that you gave, Lord, that we could be part of your family. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to ask our ushers to get up. Here we go. We're waiting for one of our ushers. Rosemary's going to play for a minute just to give you guys a moment to just reflect on those things and life and where you are. And then we're going to have the Lord's table together. And by the way, the Lord's table is a celebration for believers in Christ, not unbelievers. If you're an unbeliever, come to Christ. If you're a believer, partake of those elements to remember what Jesus did for you. Thanks, Rosemary. You know, as a lot of times we go and we read 1 Corinthians 11, which gives us instruction about the Lord's table, or we read one of the Gospels as Jesus went through the Passover and shared the Lord's table with the disciples. But, you know, in this passage, we really have that same thing. Remember what Peter wrote? He said, I wonder if Peter, by the way, was thinking about that Passover meal that he had with Jesus as he wrote this. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, God loved us so much, that he's begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this we greatly rejoice." And you know, the Lord's table is all about remembering what Jesus did. And he didn't do it just for everybody. He didn't do it just for me, but he did it for every single one of us personally. It's amazing. And we look at it from the standpoint of Jesus' broken body and his shed blood. And Deacon Mars Summers is going to take this opportunity just to pray for the bread.
All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and come together in remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. We come to you in reference and remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And dear Father in heaven, we know that he's watching over us and how much you love us, because your Son, your only Son, you gave him up on the cross for our sins. And we will never forget this. And this is in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Take out the bread if you would. Imagine for a second that the God of the universe loves you and loves me so much, he would give the body of Jesus to be broken to pay the penalty for our sins. Let's partake together.
In the book of Luke, chapter 22, Luke wrote, and Jesus says in verse 14 to 15 and 17, he said, "When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" And then verse 17 says, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" Imagine if you were with one of the disciples sitting there with Jesus, and he said all these things. What would have come to your mind? How would you have felt that this man who have been with you guys for 3 years of ministry, difficult times, and then he said, he's not going to eat again until the kingdom has come? And that goes to us. And that, remember, you know, when Pastor Gary talked about remembering the element, who would have thought Jesus used two fearless elements, the blood, the wine, and the bread, to remember him? He didn't say build a statue made of gold to remember me. But he said the bread and the wine. Those are not things you would think of that we would have to remember the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that gave himself for us. That's a blessing that we can. How simple he gave himself, and simple element that he used to remember him. So even as we partake, remember who he is and what he's done for us as his children. Amen? We're going to add Ed to just pray for the element of the wine.
All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here, Father God, to commemorate what was done on the cross at Calvary, Father, that you didn't wait for us to get right, Father God, that you saved us right where we were at, Lord. And we just thank you for this act of grace and mercy and the ultimate act of love, Father, that you gave your son to die for a sinner like me, Father. And Lord, I just pray that we would just continue, Father, to worship you each and every day, Father God. We would have an open heart, Lord, to accept your will, Father God. And I just thank you for putting the Holy Spirit in our hearts, Father. And Father, I just pray that as we go about our day, that we could be the word to those around us, Father, that through us, Father, that the seed will be planted to those that we come in contact with, Father, that through that, Father, that you would continue to grow them, and those people that we contact with will accept your son as their savior, Father. And I pray that we just not be hearers of the word, Father, but that we'd be doers. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us drink together. Amen.
We're going to close with a psalm. Let's ask our praise team to step up. And we're just going to close out with a psalm. If there's any needs or any issues that you guys have, please grab me or Pastor Ansu. Grab Deacon Jackson, Deacon Summers, all the deacons in the front. If we can help, we're here to help. And we can point you to the God who is the God of all help. praise God, right, for his precious gift. And I know all of us, right, we're walking all kinds of journeys of struggle and problems. I know, Lord knows we have these last couple of years. But you know what? God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to die for us. He made all things right. He gave us eternal home. He gave us the Spirit. And in the trials that we go through, you know what? He has built our faith. And I want to encourage us as we leave this place today. First, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's the first thing, right? He's God's only Son. He came to earth to die, to rise again, pay the penalty for our sin, and to confirm that his sacrifice was enough to please an angry God, but a loving God. And I encourage you, if you want to know how to receive him today, you're not quite sure, you heard that before maybe, grab us, see us, please. And for the rest of us, you know what? Let's grow in God's grace through God's word. And let's hide it in our heart. Let's memorize it. Let's dwell on it. May that be the first thoughts mind in the midst of struggle. There's a handout in the back. I think Deacon Jackson has that. He'll give it to you as you guys go. Grab one of those. Try to work on memorizing that scripture. And by the way, it's not just for us or for a church sake. Wow, we did all that. It's to really have it in our heart so we're ready when the difficulties come, because they're going to come. Let's pray. Pastor Andrew is going to lead us in prayer to close us out.
Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you can speak to us through your word. And Lord, as we leave from here today, and like the summer said, we will have that mind that will say, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Lord, that your word will take root in our lives. And help us, O God, to commit to it. And in so we'll get to know you personally, even through our struggles, even through our trials, we will lean upon your word that will give us the strength to carry on each day. Bless us now as we leave. We're not leaving your presence. We'll ask to God that you go with us and bring us back Sunday, Lord, where your name will be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.